We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As crazy as this is, I mean, I would say it's a long shot, but we're not out of it. We do have four, you know, of our division opponents coming up, and the guys got to understand that, and it's my job to make sure they do understand that we're still fighting and coming to work this week and ready to go and you know, try to figure this thing out. You know, I've got to give them and show them that exactly, you know, where we are and what we need to do, you know, with these next four games.
All right, it was Doug's. He says it's a long shot. I mean, is it a long shot? The way they played yesterday, it's a long shot, but it's not, like you said, Ike, not really. It's got to start with a win against the Giants. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Did you, like, watching that game yesterday, kind of a couple times last year, in particular the Carolina game where they went down the field in the fourth quarter and scored three touchdowns. That's the way it felt yesterday with the Dolphins. It was a helpless feeling where they couldn't do anything. I mean, they really couldn't. They were on their heels. They couldn't get pressure because Fitzpatrick was getting the ball out of his hands so early, and it just felt like that there was nothing that was going to stop them. And they didn't. They didn't. I look at Jim Schwartz, a guy that's been around a really long time, and I guess I expect more out of him. I expect more out of him. They had their guys back. I know Jalen Mills and Ron Darby struggled yesterday, but you're just going to go down like that? I don't know, Ike. 888-729-9494.
Yeah. Well, did those guys speak? I thought I saw Ron Darby talking after the game. I know a lot of guys didn't. They chose not to speak.
Yeah, but a couple, I know Fletcher didn't. Malcolm did, and he spoke with us. You'll hear him at 5:25
today. Alshon didn't speak. Alshon had a good game yesterday.
He did. You're right. Like, that was one of those get-well games for the offense. That was the game that gets them healthy for the run, and you're right. The defense didn't keep up their side of the bargain. Let's go to Donald in Chester. Donald, how are you?
I'm all right. How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
Peachy.
All right.
Well, okay, because we're good. I am too, because I didn't expect too much. I didn't expect too much out of secondary.
You didn't expect them to win yesterday?
Wait a minute, hold on a second, Johnny. I'm about to say something to Ike about this. Ike, you found out, you know that when you played with Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor and them, you know that you found out how good they was off of two things. When you guys blitzed, and when they stretched you guys out, was how you find out that they were the real, real deal. And Jay Marsh, you know good and well that this secondary, once you get stretched out from sideline to sideline, you know we can't cover nobody. I don't care how bad the quarterback is. Seattle and New England didn't stretch us out the way Fitzpatrick did yesterday. He carved us up.
And here's the funny thing. Seattle actually did a couple times. They hit on the trick play when they stretched us out. And then DK Metcalf dropped at least two or three balls where he got behind the secondary.
It wasn't nowhere near as consistent.
No, you're right.
They did it yesterday. Yeah. Now I'm going to say this about the offense. I can't say too much about Wentz because I thought for the most part he settled down. And he was taking a lot of 6-yard, 7-yard passes if it wasn't down the field. But the thing that I realized about this, about that comment that Chris Mortensen had said, is that Doug refuses to commit to the run. And in 17, we were a very balanced offense. You don't have to have the greatest show on turf. We don't have to have the hogs from Washington. We don't have to have Dallas's offensive line from Emmitt, but we need balance. I'm going to say this and then cut it short. No, I just expected Doug to bring more balance because of Carson, especially coming off the injury, and that you wanted to protect him more. I'm thinking in 4 years, he should be more of a game manager, because in 17, our run ratio was 33, our pass was 30. But in them 30 pass attempts, that's where those big plays came in at. So we kept defenses off balance. I don't see that. And I'm going to say this much. We can fire. I mean, yes, Schwartz definitely needs to go, and a lot of other guys need to go. But until Coach commits to running the football and bringing balance, I mean, really, he's not even balancing his
passing
game.
We got you, Donald. Appreciate it. In 2017, I think a lot of the rushes. Remember, you got to remember the Eagles were up big in a lot of those games. And yes, they did run the ball very well in 2017, but they also had more opportunities because they were ahead, and they were running the football. Yesterday, if you look at just the numbers, it was definitely skewed to where it was 46 to 19, 17 for Miles Sanders, 2 for Jay Ajayi, and then 46 attempts from Carson Wentz. He was also sacked twice, so that's more dropbacks. But, you know, there was also a good 7-8 of those in desperation in the last two drives where you weren't going to run the ball. So if you take them away, then it doesn't look as bad. But, first half it seemed pretty good, Ike. It was working in the first half running and throwing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not on the whole run the football kick. Yeah, is that something you could point to? Would you have liked to have seen it a little more balanced? They didn't lose yesterday because they couldn't run the football. Are you kidding me? Is that what people think? You come away from that game thinking, man, had we run the ball today, we would have won.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's just something that if you want to be critical of the head coach, that's something you can point to and have stats to sort of support your argument against Doug. No, they gave up 37 points on defense yesterday. I'm going to keep saying it. To Ryan Fitzpatrick and that offense. That offense was ranked in the – not even in the bottom third, the bottom five teams
30th.
In this league. Are you kidding me? They scored 28 combined touchdowns and field goals 28 times this year. Combined. They put up 37 points yesterday. Like, I don't know how you come away from that game thinking anything other than the defense.
They scored 5 straight tries.
And maybe it's just because I got a defensive mentality or whatever. But damn, I mean, you score 31 points, you're supposed to win. You're supposed to win when you score 31 points. And not only did they allow scoring drives on 5 consecutive scoring drives, they also couldn't get off the field late in the game.
Well, that
when they needed
drive,
to.
Yeah. Yep.
They allowed another field goal to make it a 2-score game. When did they ever come up with the big play in the game? Other than the first throw, which, by the way, the receiver fell down, which made it easy for Ron Darby to catch the ball. The receiver fell down in front of him.
It was the first. That was
the first play of the game.
They peaked at the first play.
Yeah.
Or the first two drives where they
come
had
on, man.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, right?
They played okay for a quarter and a half in the first half. But in the second half, they had consecutive touchdown drives, and the crucial point was not being able to get off the field in that fourth quarter to get the ball back to the Eagles when you were down 34-28. Like, to me, that was the critical part for the defense as well. They couldn't get off the field.
No doubt about it. But how much of this is the tone of the team, right? I mean, I can look back to last year. I can look this year where Doug's setting the tone, where guys are going down there knowing that this is the game they need to win, and they come out and they just seem like they lack some urgency. They seem like that they weren't ready for what the Dolphins had.
Isn't that more on Jim Schwartz?
Well, I mean, it's on Jim Schwartz for sure, but the head coach, he only coaches the offense?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah. That's all he coaches is
so,
the offense.
So the head coach doesn't have – it's only what's on offense with him, and he's an offensive guy. What the rest of the team is doing, he's not setting a tone for that.
No.
At all. Okay.
That's surprising.
Well, I would have thought that he has.
No, he's the team spokesperson.
Right.
He's the one who answers the questions. He's the one who has to answer for all of this. He doesn't call defensive plays.
Right, but the message of the week is stale.
Yeah, I understand that. But he can only get up there and talk so much. His side of the football, what do you think? He gave a different message to the defense than he did the offense? Offense came to play. They didn't take the Dolphins lightly yesterday. He didn't give one message to the offense and a different message to the defense. No, Jim Schwartz is responsible for how that defense plays, for the mindset of the defense, for how they play. Jim Schwartz is responsible for that. Doug doesn't make adjustments on the defensive side of the ball. He doesn't call blitzes. He doesn't call zones. He doesn't call stick defenses. It's the way this staff is set up. Now, we can complain about that, but Jim Schwartz was hired before Doug.
Right.
Story came out a couple weeks ago that Jim Schwartz is the one picking defensive players on his say-so.
Right.
Not Doug. So Jim Schwartz obviously has a lot of say in that building.
No, he does.
And that's his side of the football. All those damn former Buffalo Bills players that are here are because Jim Schwartz wanted him here. Zach Brown, Jim Schwartz wanted Zach Brown here. So when his defense plays like that, Doug didn't get credit when they held Tom Brady to 17 points. Doug didn't get credit when the defense held Russell Wilson to 17 points. No, we gave the credit to Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz going, he needs to wear this L. His side of the ball gave up 37 points yesterday. His side of the ball didn't make adjustments. His side of the ball looked like they came in there and took the Dolphins for granted and overlooked them. His side of the ball. I'm just here keeping it fair and balanced.
He
don't get to escape the heat.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, you're right. There's no doubt about it. Anybody that watched that game yesterday would say, like, yeah, that's on the defense, that's on Jim Schwartz. But isn't there a game where Doug has to bail the defense out, where Doug has to say, you know what, we suck right now?
Yeah.
Let's get a drive going right now.
Yeah.
Right? And that was yesterday. The Browns scored 41 points against the Dolphins the week before. Mm-hmm. The Bills scored 37 points.
How many did the defense give up?
24 and 20.
Okay.
The previous weeks. Right. No, but it doesn't let the offense off the hook, too. I mean, when you need to score more points, you need to score more points.
So they should score 38 yesterday.
Yes. Okay. Sometimes there's a week that you do have to just score more points.
Okay.
10 points in the second half.
Listen, isn't it enough? Listen, you're stretching it. You're stretching. Saying the offense should have scored 38 points yesterday, and somehow they are responsible for this team losing? Come on now.
No, the offense isn't responsible for the loss yesterday. But the offense also sometimes needs to bail people out. Like, the offense needs to bail people out to where the defense sucks and the offense says, you know what?
Right.
We're going to do it.
Right. But last year when the defense gave up points in the fourth quarter, we said the offense needs to score more. That's not right.
Go back to the phones. We have Corey in Conshohocken. Hi, Corey.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
What's up, brother?
What's up, Corey?
Hey, listen, I got three kind of things I can't stop thinking about here that I want to throw out there to you. First, huge piece of this conversation is who wanted it more. I would argue who was more focused, and I think the Dolphins were just more focused, and I think that's been the trend with that team the past couple weeks. They know they're having a terrible year. They're rebuilding, and I think they were more focused on disrupting than we were focused on starting off these next couple of games with, what should have been an easy win. I would throw out there, too, that giving the guys off on Thanksgiving morning while the coaches came in, apparently all the players got off, warms my heart. I want everybody to have a good Thanksgiving. Hope you guys did. I definitely did with my family. But, look, it reminds me of when I was in high school, 2008. I missed the Phillies World Series parade because I had a football game. I was 16 years old. I had a high school football game that week, and my coach's message was to stay focused on the game and stay focused at the task at hand, which that year was making the playoffs, right?
Yep.
That's my second point to you. Third, Seth Joyner said it best. I want to know when we're going to start running the ball. I don't want to know why we're not doing it. I want to know when we're going to do it, right? And I'm seeing that a lot of teams in general are just getting away from football fundamentals. And, Ike, I know you kind of want to hear this. I think where that would have helped us yesterday was just clock management, dude. Like, throwing the ball, we left so much clock time out there for the Dolphins to stay in the game by not running the ball. That's where that could have really helped us yesterday. Now, on the flip side, again,
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and I get it. Maybe they could have ran a few more times. My point is they didn't lose the game because they didn't run the football.
I hear you. I agree.
And I told you, Miles Sanders had 22 touches yesterday.
Yeah.
You don't get a ball to Jay Ajayi 8 more times?
Nah. He looked slow. I'll give you that as well. I don't know about you guys. I think he looked slow. I don't think he has what he used to have, Ajayi. So I'll give you that one. I also just wanted to throw out there, too, again, I agree with you, Ike. I think it's on the defense because I watched some guy that they called the intern, the backup to Balazs or whatever. I don't even know the guy's name. I watched Nigel Bradham miss a tackle, and then I watched Nathan Jerry just get his ankles broken by that kid. I mean, who even is that? I was, like, losing that when I knew that.
He was an undrafted running back. Thank you, Corey.
Is that Laird?
Yeah. Yeah, touchdown.
Yeah.
Rushing touchdown. Tom and Williams.
By the way, he rushed 10 times for 5 yards.
So what's that breakdown, the half a point a rush?
No, it was the catches that he had. He had 4 catches for 43 yards.
Huh. Yeah, I think he had a lot of those inside.
Including a 19-yard catch.
He had a lot of those inside the – I mean, the one drive, the Dolphins were inside the 5-yard line, it felt like, for half a quarter.
I mean, you got beat basically by Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, in the second half. No doubt. Tom Wilmington, Delaware. Tom, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I don't know how you do it. Like I told you at the Marriott one night, I don't know how you listen to this guy. Johnny, blaming Doug Peterson's offense for this loss is stupidity.
It's more than the offense. It's more about the tone that's being set for a team to go down and lose to the Dolphins.
By the way, here's the offense
in the second half. Are you ready? Dolphins touchdown. Eagles miss field goal. Dolphins touchdown. Eagles punt. Dolphins touchdown. Eagles punt. Dolphins field goal. And that's where they got this field goal at the end of the game. And then the Dolphins punted. So every time they scored, you didn't answer the bell once. You had a missed field goal, and that was it. So if you want to say that it's not on the offense, it is partially on the offense. We know the defense sucked.
No,
but the offense could have done more.
They scored 31 points yesterday.
The problem I have is five straight drives for TDs. Over 70 yards is a joke. The fact that they let that man on the plane to come back home is a joke. This man has been out coached since the Super Bowl. When are they going to learn their lesson that defense just sucks?
Maybe at the end of the year. I don't know.
I hope.
We'll see.
I mean, Doug is not having his greatest year. But still, that offense played well enough yesterday to beat a lowly Dolphins team. Except for the God graces of Matt, of Fitz, the damn quarterback for the Dolphins.
Fitzpatrick.
Fitz great. Who is, what, 4-0 against Schwartz's defenses?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I saw that stat, too. 4-0 against
I saw that.
Yeah, all right. Tom's coming up to you at some event complaining about me. Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP, HC1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake Studios. We're live at Chiggs and Pete's, South Philadelphia. I told you at the Marriott, he's an idiot. I can't listen to him. Right? Like, yeah, it's easy to come on the air today and say the defense sucks. The defense does suck. Jim Schwartz, I've been
They sucked yesterday. They gave up 37 points.
Yeah,
what do you mean it's easy to do that? It's easy to complain about the offense when they only scored 10.
Right. And you will point out when the offense scores 10 points that there's more than just the offense scoring 10 points, right?
No.
So
I wouldn't. I would say the offense sucked.
Okay. Well, we know the defense sucked yesterday, right?
I don't know. Do we?
Yeah, we do. The biggest reason why the Eagles lost yesterday was the defense. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
They were helpless. They were hapless. Jim Schwartz more or less was just like, all right, well, you know, I'm just going to keep leaving Darby or Mills out there on an island, and maybe they'll make a play. Maybe they won't. But also, I mean, if the Eagles answer one of those drives with a drive of their own, even if they have a sustained drive, you get the defense off the field. That matters. Right? That matters. I know they had 31 points, but that matters. And before
There's no way this Miami offense, without a running back you can even name that anybody even knows, and if not for Devontae Parker, nobody else would know him as a player. You don't even know these Miami Dolphins offensive players. Who are they?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I never heard of the running. Well, the barrage guy or whatever his name is, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows him.
Nobody,
and he didn't even play yesterday. He got hurt.
I know.
Yeah, this offense stinks. This is the best this offense has looked all year long.
Agreed. Their defense stinks, though, too, as we saw in the first half.
Who, Miami's?
Yes.
Yeah, we know that.
All right. Well, when the situation calls for it, get a score. Get a couple of drives.
Get a couple.
That's what they needed yesterday to win the game.
No, what they needed was a stop, John.
Well, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but the point is, no, the point is it should have happened. That's the whole point. You're talking about that wasn't going to happen. It's ridiculous to think that you can score every time you get the ball, unless you're the Miami Dolphins against the Eagles defense. What do you mean? It shouldn't have been that difficult to stop a team that's throwing the ball to two guys and doesn't even have a running game to speak of. It's a one-dimensional team. Right. It was a one-dimensional. We keep talking about the Eagles running the ball. Did the Dolphins run the ball yesterday?
No, they didn't try.
Did they?
No.
They put up 37 points throwing it. Did they put up 37 points running the ball?
Well,
okay, then. The answer is no. But we keep yelling about the
Laird
Eagles.
Laird had a touchdown.
We keep yelling about the Eagles running the football when the team that put up 37 points against you, they didn't run the football either.
Let's go back to the phones. Mad Mike and King of Prussia. Hi, Mad Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Oh, hi, Mike. You're the only guy happy in Philadelphia today.
I'm thrilled. I hope they lose the rest of the games this season just so the GM, the coaching staff, they all have to look in the mirror and say, we stink out loud, and Jeffrey Lurie has to do something about it. I said it before, I don't want that year that Andy Reid should have been fired, but they won the last four games and they convinced themselves that they were on to something. I don't want them to make the playoffs. I don't want them to win another game. I don't want them to score another point. I want them to go so bad south that they have to do something, and something needs to be changed.
Like what?
I don't know, like, but something. Maybe fire Howard Rosen because he's a bum.
Matt Mike, you got all the one-liners. Everybody's a bum. You want these drastic changes. You don't want them to score another point. You don't want them to win another game because you want the owner to make a change. And you can't even come up with the changes that you want.
I just told you, fire the GM. Fire the coach. I don't care.
Fire the GM. Let's be realistic. Yeah, you just see, now you're going to make me not take your calls for a while because I think you just like hearing yourself talk. It was cute for a minute, but these are actual people's emotions the day after the
game. Have I not been saying that? Have I not been consistent around with that?
So when you call up with something as ridiculous as lose the rest of the games on the season, don't score another point, I mean, outside of sounding like a dumbass, I want you to give me an explanation as to what's going to be the means behind that madness. What's the method? What are you trying to accomplish that's realistic?
That they are the best at not looking themselves in the mirror and talking themselves into they're better than what they
I'm
are.
I'm asking
that's
you, Mike,
want
what
the
change
to drop
do you
out.
Want? So you want them to fire the GM. You want Howie Roseman fired.
I do. I think he's a terrible GM. Okay. He had one outlier
right,
year, and that was 2017.
I'm done. Wait till the season is over with the callback. I don't have time for that. Like if you want to do a Mad Mike show, do a Mad Mike show. You calling up with the same nonsense every week just to hear yourself talk because you think it sounds cute and everybody wants to hear it. Today ain't the day for it. Do that later in the week when there's nothing else going on. This is the day after a game. You want to call up with the same nonsense you call up with every week. I'm tired of entertaining that. And I know my listeners are tired of hearing it.
So I think if you're realistic with change, Doug and Howie obviously aren't going anywhere. But you could see some assistants go. You could see maybe a new quarterback coach, maybe a new offensive coordinator, maybe some change on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, when you lose games – and the owner's going to be asking questions. Why aren't guys developing?
They're not firing the head coach, and Howie Roseman is not getting fired. Nor should they be fired. The damn team just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. You're going to fire the freaking head coach after winning a Super Bowl 2 years later? You're going to fire the GM after winning a Super Bowl 2 years later?
No. Let's go to Mike in South Philly. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Listen, you guys make great points. What I look at is this. 1 week, the offense doesn't play well, which is why they lose versus the Seahawks and the Patriots. The next week, it's the defense playing terrible. That's lack of chemistry. And the reality is we can talk about coaches, we can talk about players, but the one consistent thing is, as a fact, is Carson, all Carson Wentz does is lose. And that's the reality. And we're going to blame coaches and players, even though Ryan Fitzpatrick outplayed Carson Wentz, who's making $130 million. The Dolphins have a worse defense than the Philadelphia Eagles. So the fact is, yes, the defense lost the game, but Carson Wentz was outplayed by Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's why they lost. And if we talk about the Dolphins wanting it more, having more effort, what have we heard about Carson Wentz? The Eagles players for 60 minutes do not give full effort for Carson Wentz. With a different quarterback, they did give full effort. With Carson Wentz, they don't. And when you go 5-6 last year versus the easiest part of the schedule, and a completely different quarterback takes you on a playoff run, that's not players or coaches. That is chemistry. That's lack of accountability. That guy's not trusting in their quarterback. And Howie Roseman made the worst decision in Eagles history in the offseason by giving $130 million to a quarterback who's now 3 out of 4 losing seasons, has never won a playoff game. I would say 85% of the team hates his guts, and we're blaming coaches, and guys are going to get fired in the offseason all because Carson Wentz smiles after every loss. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, what didn't make sense? Who would you want to be the quarterback?
I want anyone other than Carson Wentz because all he does is lose. This guy is 10-13 in the last 23 starts with a roster that's 11-2 without him. If you're a roster that wins almost every single game when Wentz isn't the quarterback, then he's clearly the problem because all they do is lose with him, right? They've lost to the Falcons, they lost to the Lions, and everyone else gets blamed. It's receivers, one week it's the defense, the other week it's play calling, then it's this guy's fault, it's that guy's fault. The one consistent thing is this coach staff, this players, all win when Carson Wentz is not under center. So they can either lose and not make the playoffs this year.
Well, how did they lose to the Saints last year in the playoffs?
Right, and that same Saints team beat Carson Wentz 48-7.
No. You just said they win when he's not playing.
95% of the time they win when he's not playing.
Now it's 95%.
But I said almost every game he doesn't play, they win.
Oh, okay.
And almost every game he does play, they lose. So when you add that up and you have 3 out of 4 losing seasons since 2016 with 0 playoff wins in this span.
How do you have 3 out of 4 losing seasons? Yeah,
2016 he was under 500. 2018 he was under 500.
Nah, but that's not a season though.
Right. He was 5-6 last year and
would have a full season though.
Okay, but in the playoffs he's played, he was under 500. So 3 out of 4 years that he's played, in 3 of those 4 years, he was under 500. And last year, he would have went 5-11 or 6-10 had he played all year. As we see this year, with an easier schedule, he's still losing to bad teams. So the point is, you can never win a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz and erode all the talent and all the goodwill that this team had, or you can be smart and get rid of him and bring back Foles in the offseason or get a new quarterback because you will never win with Carson Wentz, no matter how many coaches you change.
Why did it take you so long to get to bring back Foles?
Because if Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, he still wouldn't win with Carson Wentz. There's something very wrong with this guy's personality.
Well, I'm sorry.
He smiles after every loss. They showed him yesterday laughing on the sidelines after the team was losing.
Mike, I'm sorry, but either you're going to have to root for a different team until he's gone, or you're going to have to suck
or
it up.
Or watch him lose year after year and never win a Super Bowl.
Which are you going to do?
I'm going to watch him lose every year and never win a Super Bowl.
That's not what I asked.
I want them to get rid of him and bring in a guy who's not hated in the locker room.
They're not getting rid of him. So are you going to still be an Eagles fan or no?
So are they going to keep the guy that smiles after every loss?
Are you still going to be an Eagles fan?
I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm just somebody.
Why are we still wasting time talking to you?
There's a guy in New York.
He made no points. On to the next caller.
Let's go.
He just said he wasn't an Eagles fan, so I thought he was an Eagles fan.
Yeah, you think? Mike in Spring City. Mike, how are you?
Oh, another Mike.
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
The third Mike in a row. What's up, Mike? I hope you're better than the last two Mikes you just called here.
I hope so too. But watching that game, I'm going to try to keep this real as possible. This is a bad team, but the only thing worse than watching a bad team is watching a bad, stale team. And it just feels like that's so much of this operation's rotten right now. It doesn't seem like the message is getting through to the players. It seems like that the brain drain from the Super Bowl coaching staff has reared its ugly head for sure. The game plans are unimaginative and too often one-dimensional. And then you look at the roster. I think that they're totally lacking in playmaking talent and dynamic ability in the back seven and at skill positions. I'm not saying fire Roseman or fire Doug Peterson, but I will say if I'm Larry, I'm giving him a win in 2020 or else mandate because, this team needs significant changes.
Win in 2020 or else. Right now, and we're still in the season, I don't think it's like that. I think for Howie, it starts at the top with Jeff Lurie. What are we going to do? Are we going to try to – how competitive are we trying to remain? Are we – going forward again in 2020? Are we taking maybe a little bit of a step back and getting younger to where we're still competing for a playoff spot and who knows what happens?
Well, I think you always want to compete for playoffs. I think you always want to do that. And I guess that makes you a contender just by the nature of this sport. If you're in the playoffs, I guess you're a contender, but are you really a contender?
Yeah.
We'll see what the team looks like next year. They got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of work to do when it comes to redoing this team. You know, I'm pretty sure those discussions are going on. You know, how do they want this offense to look? You know, what's best for Carson Wentz moving forward? How do you get the most out of him? You know, you committed this money to him, so you want to have somebody in here who's going to get the best out of Carson Wentz. The same way the Dallas Cowboys wanted to find out what they had in Dak Prescott before they decided to pay him. You know what they went out and did? They went out and got him weapons. You know what else they did? They changed the offensive coordinator from Scott Linehan to Kellen Moore, along with John Kitna, to try to do some things that are catered to what Dak Prescott does well. Now, their record hasn't changed a whole lot, but Dak Prescott, and I think this is part of the issue with the Cowboys, some of it is that Kellen Moore is auditioning for a head coaching job. So he wants to prove that he turned Dak around and turned him into this prolific passer. So Dallas wants to win by throwing the ball, and Kellen Moore is auditioning.
And teams are fine, more or less seem fine with that. They're saying, like, all right, become one-dimensional. Don't give the ball to Zeke. Don't get him in a rhythm.
Right.
Give us the ball more.
And you see what's happening.
Yeah, you're losing games.
You're losing games. Yeah. Now, Dak may be throwing for a lot of yards like he did the other day. That's in a losing effort.
Yeah, there's been a lot of games where he's had the 400 yards and they lose the game.
Listen, they're 6-6. Couldn't have won very many games. He won one more game than the Eagles.
No, you're right.
But he's the leading yardage guy in the NFL, and I think he's thrown the most passes in the NFL. So I brought that up to say Dallas went out and tried to figure out a way to get the most out of their quarterback, right? Offensive coordinator, the weapons around him. Well, that's what you're going to have to do with Carson. You're going to have to find somebody who can say, you know what? I know what I can do with him. I see some of the things I know I can do with him. And have a play and have an offense that's designed around what he does well.
You know what? I mean, fresh set of eyes.
Yes.
A guy that comes in and says, oh, I know what I would do with him.
Yes.
That's what you need. You really do.
I'm telling you, I like, you can't get Kyle Shanahan. He's the head coach. But if you can get his top offensive assistant out there in San Francisco so you can use some of that play action stuff that he likes to use, like, that's the type of stuff that Carson needs, rollouts, some of the misdirections, a little bit of a more commitment to the running game. So you're in Doug's ear about the importance of the running game, right? You want to be able to do that. They brought in Gary Kubiak in Minnesota after they got rid of John DeFilippo. Look at Kirk Cousins and what he's doing up there in Minnesota.
Well, I mean, and they
and
also,
they run the ball.
Well, they also bounced him with a young guy and brought in the veteran. So Ed Stefanski's kid is the offensive coordinator. Kubiak is the veteran that's done the game planning,
consultant.
that's seen stuff.
Yes, he's a voice, and that's all Doug needs.
Meanwhile, you got two inexperienced guys here.
Yep. I mean, that's what Frank Reich was. He was like having another head coach in there with Doug.
Take advantage of Guided Door and Windows' big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. That's their best sale of the year. Call them, Guided Door and Window, 877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Let's go to Doug, Northeast Philly. Doug, how are you?
All right, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
All right.
What's up, Doug?
Listen, it's right on point. I watched one defensive play, Malcolm Jenkins stopped the fat quarterback from scoring on the ground. The rest of the defense looked pathetic. And let me tell you something. Jalen Mills needs to stop worrying about dyeing his hair and learn to play his position. He couldn't cover a mattress with a bedspread, okay? And he's been like that for the last 2 years. He's horrible. And Ronald Darby, aren't you a pro football player? When are you going to learn how to tackle and cover a wide receiver? You know what? I can imagine that wide receiver Parker going into the huddle and saying to Fitzpatrick, throw it to me. I can beat this chump any day of the week because he stinks. Okay? They were hideous. Hideous. That fat grandpa with the beard who looked like ZZ Top leftovers beat them. And what did you just say, Marks, about the New York Giants a while ago?
Hello? I'm not sure.
You say, well, they're a worse team. Didn't we talk about Miami the same way?
I've already said that I don't even expect them to win that game on Monday night.
Who cares if they win? You know what? I'm surprised. I would be surprised that they even put that on TV. Both teams are hideous. But the Eagles have been mailing it in inconsistent since 2018. What did the New England Patriots do last year?
They went back and won the Super Bowl.
That's right. It's called pride. Pride. They didn't like being beat. You know that Jason Kelce speech about that hungry dogs run fast? Well, lazy dogs don't run at all, okay? And this team has been up and down for the last 2 years. They're pathetic. No matter what you get on the roster, and I know things happen. You have to have a lot of factors happen in football. Ike knows it. He played the game. But guess what? Inconsistency is the name of this team. And it's been like that for 2 years.
Well, you are right.
Great call.
I'm telling you. You like that, Ike?
I do. I sound like Joe Conklin, man. Was that Joe Conklin?
I don't think it was.
I don't think so. I hope not.
Let's go back to the phones. No, I would say that was not. That was not.
It was a good call.
What does Jack and Delco think about this? We haven't heard him chime in.
He doesn't call it a day after the game.
He's too worked up.
Yeah.
He's going to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday, and then he's still.
Yeah, he doesn't handle losses well.
Right, but the Cowboys did lose this week, so at least he was happy for a couple
That's
days,
true.
Right?
Yeah, but he knows that the Cowboys are still better than this Eagles team. So.
Jack and Delco knows that?
Yeah, he's in a dark time right now, honestly.
All right. Steve in Bristol has an idea for the Eagles. Like, Steve, what's up, brother? How are you?
Hey, you guys said that they're not going to fire Peterson. Could you make this guy his offensive coordinator for next year just for a year or two? Urban Meyer. And all of a sudden.
Urban Meyer?
All of a sudden, our quarterback doesn't look confused anymore. He knows exactly what to do. He's a guru.
Yeah, Steve, he's not going to come here for an offensive coordinator job.
Well, he's campaigning for the Dallas job, but I don't think Jerry was going to hire him.
Yeah, well, then he'll do TV before he's an offensive coordinator. Like, if he could get an NFL job, I agree with you. I think he would take it.
Well, maybe he looks at it this way. If he does well with the quarterback, Jeffrey Lurie says, hey, wait a minute.
I don't think he looks at it that way, though, Steve.
He's a Hall of Fame college football coach.
That's right. He's the kind of guy that would help our quarterback.
That doesn't even call plays.
Yes.
No. Philosophy.
Well, he did.
He won't call plays here. Like, if he came in as the offensive coordinator, the head coach still calls plays.
Yes. You're right.
Steve, listen, I think Urban, it's an interesting name, but not for the offensive coordinator job of the Eagles. Yeah, for the Cowboys.
He's not going to be an offensive coordinator anywhere. He's a head coach. He's Urban freaking Meyer. What are you, the offensive coordinator?
You think Chip's available to
Urban Meyer's a Hall of Fame. He's a college Hall of Fame coach. The guy's won 3 national championships.
Yeah, no,
he's going to be an offensive coordinator?
888-729.
Sounds right up his alley.
94-94. What about Chip?
Yeah. No, why don't we get Nick Saban to be our defensive coordinator? Why don't we do that?
That's not a bad idea. Is he available?
Yeah, get Urban for the offensive coordinator and get Nick for the defensive coordinator. The two best college football coaches has been around in the last 25 years.
Think Belichick would be the head coach?
Yeah.
No, teams.
Belichick's not leaving New England, so we could get Brady here, though. I'm surprised nobody wants Tom Brady.
He hasn't been very good.
He's the only quarterback that's been worse than Carson.
Yeah, they're in trouble this year, the Patriots. You agree?
I told you, yes.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Yes, can't score.
And Tom is not happy about it.
Every week, somebody else getting cursed out.
Every week, Tom is mad as hell.
Oh, man, Tom Brady, you got that old man look on his face
now. Guess what? Tom's not a guy that comes out and puts it on himself. He's always talking about we. But I feel like when he says we, he ain't talking about himself. Like, he never comes down and says, I have to do better. He says, we have to do better.
Listen.
He's got to do better.
Listen.
Yeah.
He's out there with Larry, Moe, and Curly at wide receivers, man. He almost had a heart attack last night when Nikhil Harry cut that. Didn't I tell you about not running routes precisely? That's what happens. Tom Brady threw to a spot. Nikhil Harry's rounding off that end cut. Meanwhile, the DB picked it off. Yeah, Brady wasn't happy about that.
888-729-9494. What does Malcolm
Brady's
Jenkins
not happy about that.
What does Malcolm Jenkins think about the game yesterday? What does Malcolm Jenkins think about his head coach saying that?
Tom Brady's over there yelling at people that were in grade school when he first came in the league.
Yeah, they're scared to death of him.
I mean, Nikhil Harry was in preschool when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl.
22-40, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't even born when Tom Brady was in Michigan.
Right. 888-7, yeah, no, he was in nursery school. 888-729-9494. Tough game for the defense yesterday. What does Malcolm Jenkins have to say about it? What does Malcolm Jenkins say about his head coach saying that the Dolphins played harder and wanted it more? We'll find out coming up in 5 minutes.
No, he didn't say that.
Oh, he did. Want to hear it again? Let's play it again, and you can hear Malcolm talk about it coming up. Doug Peterson on the morning show today talking about the whole thing, talking about the Dolphins. He said, I didn't make Doug say it. He walked it back at the noon press conference, but I didn't make him say this. Listen.
One of the things that rankled me and the fan were you saying after the game that you thought the Dolphins were a good football team. You don't honestly believe that, do you?
Look, on paper it says one thing, on the film it says another, and I know they're struggling, you know, as a football team, 2-9, going into yesterday's game. I guess the thing that I have over, say, you know, the fans or you for that matter is the fact that I get to watch all their games on tape, and see the improvement from this football team. This is a well-coached football team. I give them a lot of respect. This is the National Football League. They played harder than we did, and that's why I said that I'm disappointed because of that. That they wanted this one a little bit more than we did, and they made the plays and we didn't.
That's why he felt the way he did, because that team played harder than our team and they wanted it more. That's the head coach this morning. Malcolm Jenkins' response to that coming up on the Marks and Reese Show. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Don't go anywhere. But hey, let's talk about Bradford White water heaters for a second. A great American company that have been making water heaters for over 100 years that are quite simply built to be the best. Their innovative technologies have made Bradford White water heaters one of the most recommended brands by plumbing professionals for their customers. Whether it's a water heater or a boiler that you need for your business or home, Bradford White products are American strong and built to last. Find a professional contractor near you by visiting bradfordwhite.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.